So both say what's still on the board here is Yesh Eim LaMikra, Yesh Eim LaMesorah. So yesterday we saw that there are five different Shitos HaTanoim, five Tanoim. The lowest common denominator of all of them is that they all maintain Yesh Eim LaMikra, which means that if there's a question, there's a contradiction between the way the Torah is written and the way the Torah is read, and the way we read it is based on the way we vocalize and we add the nekudos, then what reigns supreme is Yesh Eim LaMikra, the way we read it. And this generated five different shitos, which Rabbi Yitzchak, back on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, had calculated. He had the sheet of Rebbe, which is with regard to a Beis Din and how many judges comprise a Beis Din. We have the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, and that has to do with Tumas Leda in the case of a Nekeva. We had the case of Beit Shammai as far as how many Zrikos you need minimally, critically, in order to be Machshir or Korban Chatos. If he, instead of doing four Matan Domim, he had two Matan Domim. Then we had a sheet, if you remember, of Rabbi Shimon, and that has to do with the case of Sukkah, whether or not you have to have three Defanos plus a fourth, which is a Tefach, or it's enough to have two Defanos and a third with a Tefach. And finally, the last shita that we had was the sheet of Rabbi Akiva in a case of what we call Shir Tziruf, or Tziruf Shir, when you had a half a revius of dam from one mess together with a half a revius dam of another mess. So what we're up to here is Maskifle Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And this you'll see on the very last line on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. So we're about to turn to Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and we're studying now the sugya of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is going to question the very premise that underlies the entire sugya. The entire sugya seems to be predicated on a bifurcated, there are two possibilities. There's one possibility called Yesh Eim LaMikra, and there's another valid possibility called Yesh Eim LaMesoras. Comes along Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and he says, I'll prove to you that there are not two possibilities, but there's only one possibility. Mi Ika De Lesle Yesh Eim LaMikra. Is there someone who could reject the principle of Yesh Eim LaMikra? Everybody has to accept Yesh Eim LaMikra. No one could deny it. Because if you deny Yesh Eim LaMikra, if you don't want to interpret a pasuk based on the way we read the words in the pasuk, but rather you want to interpret it the way it's written in the Torah, then you can take an entire section of the Torah, one lav in the Torah, and rip it out, completely destroy it. And that's the Isser called Lo Savashil Gdi B'Chalev Imo. Now watch this. The word Chalav is written in the Torah Chet Lamed Bet. And the word Chet Lamed Bet, in and of itself, unless you change its vocalization, its vowels, is Chalev. Not Chalav, milk, but Chalev, which is part of the fats of the animal. And if you could interpret this pasuk based on the way it appears in the Torah, that's called the Ksav, and you're going to implement the principle Yesh Eim LaMesoras, then guess what? You're going to conclude that the only time you violate this Isur is when you take Chalev and you cook it with the meat of the animal. So I have meat of a goat, let's say in this case, or whatever animal it might be, and I cook it together with its Chalev. And we know that Yesh Eim LaMikra, and Yesh Eim LaMikra means we don't read it as Chalev Imo, but as Chalav Imo, the milk of its mother. Maskif La Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, are you telling me, and this is included in every single one of the five issues that we addressed, that there is a debate about whether Yesh Eim LaMikra or Yesh Eim LaMesoras? Mi ika delesle yesh aim la mikra. Is there anyone who could possibly question the premise, the principle of yesh aim la mikra? It's impossible. If you question that, then take the parsha of Lo Savashal Gedi and throw it out. It's gonna refer to a very specific case where he cooks the chalev of the Gedi together with the meat of the Gedi. Vasanya, we have a Braisa. The Braisa says with regard to the Pasuk. This Pasuk is from Parshas Mishpatim. It says Lo Savashal Gedi. And it says Bechalev Imo. If you read it the way it's written, but if you read it the way it's meant to be read, based on the kri, based on the mikra, then it's bechalev imo, in the milk of its mother. Yochal, I might think, bechalev imo, that it's only an iser that's violated with chalev. Amart, but the answer is yesh aim le mikra. We interpret the word based on the way we read it, with its vocalization, with its nekudos, and we put the nekudos here as chalav imo, not chalev. Under the ches there is a kamatz, not a seira, not chalev imo, but chalav imo. Chalev would mean the facts, and chalav is the milk. Nobody questions this. This braisa is universally accepted. If someone were to question this braisa, we would probably tar and feather him, or at least excommunicate him. He would be undermining the whole mesoris of Klal Yisrael, that you're not allowed to take milk and cook it in meat, with meat together. Obviously, therefore, says Rav Yaakov, I'm sorry, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Ella, we must conclude, based on the braisa of Chalav Imo, Dekuli Alma, everybody agrees, Yesh Eim LaMikra. No one could question this principle of Yesh Eim LaMikra. Rav Osa, do you realize what's at stake over here? We're going to have to take five different machlokasim that we archived here, that we investigated, and we're going to have to reinvestigate them. Just simply to start from scratch. You know, this is what we call Kishem Shani Akabal Skarala Drisha Kachani Akabal Skarala Prisha. Sometimes you have to knock everything down. You know, they used to say in Brooklyn, New York, where I was raised, that there was a certain community, a very wealthy Jewish community. What they did was they bought a house in Flatbush, and you knew that they would completely raise the house to the ground and build a palace on top of that thing. That's what they did. Okay, so here we have to take all the interpretations, five different machlokasim in five different areas of Shas, in Kodshim, in Taras, in what constitutes a Bezdin. We're going to have to talk about Tumas Oel. We're going to have to talk about a Sukkah. We're going to have to take all these issues, and we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out what are they arguing about, because it cannot be the way Rabbi Yitzchak had interpreted it, that they were arguing about Yeshem LeMikra or Yeshem LeMesoras, because everyone has to be committed to the position of Yeshem LeMikra. There's no way that you can question that premise. Everybody see the structure of the Gemara? It's a very dramatic Gemara. Has very little to do with Masechet Sanhedrin, but a very dramatic Gemara. So let's go back to square one. So the first of the five was the Machloshin Rebbe and Rabbanon. And we had an issue about how to read the word Elohim, how to interpret it, rather, in the context of Asher Yashirun Elohim. Is it in the plural, or is it in the singular? And if you recall the Nafkaminas, whether you need four judges and then you add a fifth for Bezdin Noteh, or is it in the singular and all you need is three judges? That was the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Nay, says the Gemara, you have to throw that out. Bahaka Miflagi. Everybody agrees that Asher Yashiun Elohim, we read it and we interpret it Yashiun as if they were above in the Pasuk, and therefore it's Beloshen Rabbim, which gives me two judges. And Rebbe says that Yashirun Elohim Achrini, meaning when we have these psukim, three times the Torah says Elohim, one time Elohim is in plural because it says Yashirun, and we read it with a vav in the plural, so that gives me two. And that's Achrini. Those are not the same two judges that are indicated in the next pasuk and the one after when it says Elohim. Hence, we have two in the pasuk Yashin Elohim. We have the next pasuk that says V'nikra Balabais Elohim, and a third pasuk Yikru Shneim Elohim. And therefore, we come up with Elohim four times. Why? Because the Asher Yashin Elohim is two. Hence, we end up with four. We have to add the fifth judge in order to have a business chain or shakul. So nothing changed as far as Rebbe is concerned. Now, what are Rabbanan are going to say? After all, they have to agree that Yesh Eim L'mikra. Nobody could question Yesh Eim L'mikra. Therefore, Yashin means that they read it with a vav. And if you read it with a vav, it's in a plural. And therefore, Elohim is twice. Rabbanan Savri, let's reinterpret Rabbanan, even though they agree that Yesh Eim L'mikra, that Yashiun Dehech Vahai. Yashiun means the two judges, the one judge that's written in Elohim, and the other judge that's written in Elohim, he's the judge that's going to be mentioned later on in the Torah. So basically, even though it says Elohim in the plural in the first round, because Yashiun Yeshem Lemikra means plural, but that extra judge that's indicated in the word Elohim, he's one of the judges that's going to join the Beis Din in the next two Elohim. So basically, what you end up with is three, even though again, Rebbe calculates four. Because Rebbe says Yashin Elohim gives me two, and then we have Elohim, Elohim, another two, so that equals four. Whereas Rabbanan say no. Rabbanan say that it's true that Asher Yashin Elohim indicates two, but one of those two is going to be indicated by the next part of the parasha when it says Ad Elohim Yavosh Farshnehem. That is the Elohim that was mentioned already in the previous pasuk Yashin Elohim. Hence, all we end up with is the number three. Now we get to the case of Tumas Leda in an Akeva. The Torah says that she's Tmea Shvu'ayim. But that's only Shvu'ayim based on Yesh Eim LeMikra. And therefore we don't read it as Shiv'im, as 70 days, but as Shvu'ayim, as 2 weeks. Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, Lo Pligi Rabbanan Ale. The Gemara is now saying the following. We never found that the Rabbanan rejected Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz. Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz initially had a logical conclusion, if you remember the mirror image between Zoch and Akeva, to prove that it's Shvu'ayim, it doesn't mean Shivim. But at the end he says, well, it's got to mean Shvu'ayim even without the Vav, because we read it as if there were a Vav there. That's called Yeshem Lemikra. The Rabbanan also agreed. Where do you find that the Rabbanan disagreed? We never found anywhere that the Rabbanan maintained that a woman, after she gives birth to a female, is Tmeah for 70 days. There is no such shita. And in fact, the Rabbanan accepted Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda ran after his Talmidim to teach them Yeshem LeMikra. The Rabbanan agreed, Yeshem LeMikra. That's the easy one.
I'm sorry.
You didn't catch.
No, because they were arguing 70 verses 14.
No, the Talmidim said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, they said, why do you assume it's Shvu'ayim? It's 2 weeks. It says Shivim in the Pasuk. It doesn't have a Vav in the word Shvu'ayim. So if it's Shivim, it's 70. So first, initially, Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz says, well, logically it can't be 70 because then it doesn't mirror image a Zohar. Then he ran after them. He says, forget about that. Yeshem LeMikra. The Rabbanan never argued with Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz. We only assume that the Rabbanan, since they maintain as a consistent shita, Yesh Eim LeMesores, that they would disagree. And therefore they would have to go back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz's first logical approach based on the mirror image between Zohar and the cave. No! The Gemara is saying the Rabbanan never even had that logical approach. They started with Yesh Eim LeMikra from the get-go. So what Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz told his Talmidim after they left and he brought them back in to hear the Shia, that's exactly the Rabbanan Shita. So this is an easy one, because here we never found the Rabbanan disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz. No one says that a woman waits 70 days of Tumas after Tumas laid us in the cave. But now we get to the more complicated case. And that's the case of how many matanos are absolutely critical in the case of a korban chatos. Again, Rabosa, keep in mind, we're talking about a chatos chitzona, which is 90% of your cases of chatos. There are two rare cases of a chatos pnimis where the zrikas adam has to be on the mizbach hazov. All the other chatos like all korbanos, whether it's shlamim, whether it's ola, whether it's asher, all korbanos have a zrika on the mizbeach achitz, on the mizbeach hanechoshes that's in the azor. And the question is, how many matanos are absolutely critical? So let's lay down the ground rules, what we know and what we don't know. What we do know is that in the case of korbanos general, that means the cases of ola, shlamim ola, and asham, in all these cases, the Torah requires shtei matanos shein arba. So there are two matanos. Now, whenever you have two matanos, the assumption is that one of them is critical and the other is an embellishment. It's what's called le mitzvah. So with regard to a korban ola, representing all korbanos except for chatos, it's crystal clear, no one questions this, that one matana is critical. As long as there was one matana in the mizbach hanechoshes, the korban is machaper. Where is there a machlokes? That's going to be in the case of a chatos. Because a chatos, the Torah requires not shtei matanos, but rather arba matanos. And the question is, okay, arba matanos, how many of them are absolutely critical, and how many are all the mitzvah? And here we have machlokes between Beis Hillel, Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai say two matanos out of the four are critical, and one, I'm sorry, two matanos out of the four are critical, and two all the mitzvah. Comes along Beis Hillel and he says, no, one is critical. Chatos is like all other korbanos that are brought, the Zrikas Hadam is done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and one Zrika, one Matan Damim, is sufficient as a fallback position. So until now, until this very radical juncture, we've been assuming that the machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is about yesh em lemikra. It means that Beit Shammai were of the opinion that yesh em lemikra. Okay, so let's just very quickly go over Beit Shammai. Again, I'm not going to do this by Ian Gudel. I just be, you know, as we pass. Beit Shammai says that the word chronos in the parasha of Chatos appears three times, one of which with a vav. Now, as I told you, if you open up your Chumash, you'll find that in all three cases that it says chronos, it leaves out the vav. Our sugya in the Bavli, in the Talmud, assumes that in one out of the three cases, chronos is written with a vav, and that's why Beit Shammai jacks up the number to four, and once he requires four matanos, he then drops it down to two. Again, I'm not going through all the limudim right now, but that's all based on yesh em lamikra. Now, how is it that our chumashim don't have the word chronos in plural? How could that be? So I mentioned to you yesterday that there's Tshuvas HaRajba, and it's here footnoted in the Masifta by Rikhus Gadol. And the Rashba wants to suggest that if there's a discrepancy between our Sfarim and Shas Bavli, then what we do is, he was asked the question, you know, the Tshuvas HaRashba is all responsive to questions. The question was asked, in Tzarech L'takin HaSfarim, do we have to change the text in our Sfarim, the writing of the letters in our Sfarim, based on the Shas Bavli? So the Rashba answers that it all depends on Rov. The Torah says, "Achri rachim lahatos." We follow the majority. So the Rashba says the following: is it a situation where all the Sfarim, or most of the Sfarim that we have, leave out a certain letter, but our Bavli seems to include that letter? Then we don't have to change our Sfarim. We can leave them as they are and rely on Rov. However, if it's not just the miut, but many, many Sfarim, let's say 50% of the Sfarim or more, have the letter chronos, have the vav of chronos in the word chronos, then we have to go out and change all the Sfarim. But also we're touching on a minefield. I mean, this is like explosive. The Shulchan Aruch himself, in the Beit Yosef, in Hilchas Sefer Torah, comes up with a slightly different shita. And he says the following. It all depends how important is that extra vav. If that extra vav is nogel la halacha la maisa, because we derive conclusions halacha from it, then we should be changing our svara based on the shas because we pasken those halachas. However, if it's just theoretical and it's not halacha la maisa, then we can leave the svara as they are. Rabos, I'm not even touching the tip of the iceberg here. There's a Reb Kivega who calculates, I think, 20 discrepancies, I don't know how many, but a whole list of discrepancies between the Shas Bavli and our Sfarim. So this is a major, there was a Jew, I don't know if he's still alive, from Beit Gamra, Breuer. I forgot his first name. He was, I hope he's still alive. I haven't seen him in 50 years, so if he's alive, he's getting on. You know, he was pretty old then. But he was the expert in this field. I mean, it requires tremendous scholarship. Has to do with old Yemenites for the whole, you know, you could get a PhD in this field. But be that as it may, our point is that according to Shas Bavli, Kronos in one case is written with a vav, and in two cases is written without a vav. Now, if you read it without a vav, then you end up with the following. You end up with six matanos. Why? Because since it says it three times over, and you're going to read it kronos in plural, you're going to end up with six. Why? Because once the Torah has the word kronos with a vav, it's telling you that kronos is to be read in plural. So we're going to read it in plural all three times. Hence, kronos, kronos, kronos gives you six. Now, how can you have six on a mizbeach that only has four kronos to it? How can it be six kronos? And the answer is that four are lechatchila, and two are likuvan. As the Torah repeated itself, right? It's called Shana Lo Bekodshim is Likuva. Two out of the four are repeated. Hence, what you're going to need is, according to Beit Shammai, four lemitzvah, shtayim liakev. Beis Hillel, and we interpreted Beis Hillel until this point as Yesh Em leMisores. He says that we're going to read it without the vav in two cases. So in one case it says kronos with a vav, that gives you two. In the other two cases it says kronos without a vav, and that's how we read it. And excuse me, that's how it's written. Sorry. That's how it's written. Therefore, hence, we come up with the number four. And the Torah only repeated one, li'ikuvah. Now the Gemara is in a bad matzah. Why? The back is against the wall, because now we're rejecting Yeshem le'mesores. We have now proven, based on Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that everybody agrees Yeshem le'mikra. So what are we going to do with Beis Hillel? Because if Yeshem le'mikra, then we read the word kronos, and we read kronos three times two is six. And the extra two is to tell you that two are likuv and two are lemitzvah. So then Beis Shammai is right. So what are we going to do, Beis Hillel? All right. So Ravosa, what we're about to embark upon is a reinterpretation of the derivation of Beis Hillel. The final bottom line, the conclusion of Beis Hillel remains the same. That only one matan domin in the case of a chatas chitzona is li'ikuva, is absolutely critical. Against Beit Shammai, that required two matan domins. But the derivation of Beis Hillel is now radically going to change. So here, we're going to open up the Chumash to the Parsha of Chatos. This is in Vayikra chapter 4. And the Torah repeats one word three times, and that word is v'chiper. Does anybody want to? We now have a chained down chumash, a blue chumash, big blue chumash we call it, the BB chumash, big blue chumash. Okay, and if it belongs to me, which it doesn't, it would be Berzon's big B chumash, right? Okay, and if you open up to Vayikra Dalid. Again, we don't have time for this now, but Osher, if you don't mind doing this research, I'm not going to ask you to read the psukim out loud. I'm going to just ask you if indeed you find the word v'chiper once in Pasuk Chav Zvav, 26, a second time in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, 31, and then fast forward to 35, and you'll find the word v'chiper a third time. So it says the word v'chiper three times. Okay, then? Okay. Now, since it says the word v'chiper three times, the Gemara is going to assume, but again, I'm letting the cat out of the bag, we have a far distance until we come to this conclusion, that v'chiper is a sort of a liberalization. What I mean by a liberalization, the Torah says, and even in this case, it's v'chiper. The Torah is lowering the standards of achieving kapara. in the meaning the Torah is dropping the ante, lowering the ante on how many zrikos you need. And if you need four zrikos, then since it says v'chiper, v'chiper three times, each time it's whittling it down by one. V'chiper means you don't have to do so much. You'll achieve kapara even less. So we drop it down one, two, and three. If we start with four zrikos in a chatos on the mizbech, not like other karbonos which require shtayim sheinam, here we require four zrikos on four kronos, that's going to be the mitzvah. But the v'chiper, 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 each v'chiper is going to whittle it down, knock it down by one, such that there's only one matana that is absolutely critical, and that's going to be the source for Beis Hillel. Now, again, I've given you the final word. You know, this is like the goalie one, but we have to go 100 yards until we get there.
Why couldn't that, since the key pair is singular and is pronounced singular, it's both written and pronounced singular, that atonement only requires one?
Correct. So that's why the Gemara is completely circumventing the issue of Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMesoris. It's not that Beis Hillel held Yesh Eim LeMesoris, and therefore he only has four. No. That's nothing to do with that. He would agree Yesh Eim LeMikra. But the only thing is, Beis Shammai said that based on Yesh Eim LeMikra, we need two Likuva. He has another drash of Vechiper, Vechiper, Vechiper to teach me that all you need is one Matan Domin Likuva. So it has nothing to do with this machlokas, and we can still maintain that when it says Lo Savashal Gedi, it means Bechalavi Imo. We read it Bechalavi Imo, Yesh Eim LeMikra. Even Beis Hillel is on board with Yesh Eim LeMikra. I had a Beis Hillel reduce it to one matana in the case of a chatas chitzona. The answer is because v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. But let's just see how Beis Hillel arrives at this drasha. This is the complicated part of the sugya. Now here on both sides, I offer you two possibilities. One possibility is that I can give you a long-winded introduction and make life easier for you. Or I can go through the Gemara word by word inside, and it's a little bit more tedious. Which one would you opt for? All in favor of my making life easier for you, raise your hand. Okay, so we're going to make life easier. Okay. It works like this. Maybe I'll draw a little diagram if it helps. I don't want to erase this because we still need this, right? We have the case of chatos chitzono. Okay? Then we have the cases of sha'ar karbonos. And then we have the case of chatos pnimis. Now, in these two cases, okay, we'll call them numbers 2 and 3. There's no issue whatsoever as how many matanos are likuva. In the case of Shaar Karbonos, again, Ola, Asham, Shlamim, all you need is one matana, one zrika, likuva. Do you follow me? One zrika likuva. In the case of Chatos Pnimis, okay, these are, this, for example, Chatas Pnimis would be Parahel and Dovar Shal Tzibur, or it would be Paro Shal Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippur. Those are rare cases of a Chatas, which is Zrikas Adam on which Mizbeach are both sides. The inside Mizbeach, which is called the Mizbeach HaZov. There, it's absolutely clear that we need four Zrikos, and less than four doesn't cut the mustard at all. We have a special drasha that in a chatas pnimis we need four zrikos. If you do three zrikos, my friend, go fly a kite. It was nice knowing you. Now the question is, chatas chitzon. Which direction do we go? There's going to be a tug of war here. That's what the Gemara is about to embark upon, a tug of war. The other korbanos are going to say like this: look, you don't know how many zrikas are likuva. Why not take chatas chitzona? Look at which mizbeach the zrika is aimed for, and let's look at other korbanos. So that what's the common link here between chatas chitzona and all korbanos? Everybody, right? What's the common link? It's all chitzona. All the zrikos Tamin are on the Mizbach HaNechoshes out in the Azor. So that the Shar Korbanos, pulling this, tugging at the battle here, saying, well, you should be similar to me. Why? Because what we have in common is that we're all in Hilchos Zrika or on the Mizbeach Achitza. And here we know that how many Zrikas only Kuva? Only one. Therefore, here too, there should be only one. Now we move on to the other side. Chatas Pnimis. Now here, we have a profound similarity between Chatas Pnimis and Chatas Chitzona. What's that? Okay. They're both Chatos. Okay? But it goes even beyond that. What's common to Chatas Chitzona and Chatas Pnimis is that they both require four Zrikos. Again, for sure, if all things are ideal and the Kohen did his homework, there'll be four Zrikos. So there's a very profound similarity between a Chatas Chitzona and a Chatas Pnimis, although fundamentally they're two different mizbechos. One is the Mizbeach HaChitza, the other is the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but the underlying similarity here is profound. Number one, let's compare min bimino, two things that belong to the same ilk, they're all chatos. And number two, how many zrikos do you require? But it's more than that. The similarity to chatos primis is even more profound. Why? Because in all korbanos, the zrika is done on the lower half of the mizbeach. That's called below the chut hasikra. The mizbeach is divided into two. It's got to be on the kir hamizbeach lamata. In all chatos, whether it's chatos chitzon on the mizbeach hanechoshes, or whether it's chatos pnimis on the mizbeach hapnimi, the mizbeach hazov, the zrika is done on the kronos, on the roof of the mizbeach. And it drips down the side of the mizbeach. Oh. So, Rabosai, what we're trying to figure out is how many zrikos are absolutely critical in the case of chatas chitzona. Shall we equate them with shar karbonos, or shall we equate them with the chatas pnimis? And therefore, if we equate them with shar karbonos, then one zrika is sufficient. Again, sufficient, I mean, in a fallback bidyevid situation. If we equate them with a chatas chitzona, I must have nothing less than four zrikos. So the Gemara says, mipnei adin. Now what those two words mean, mipnei adin, means that I need an extra pasuk here, as we'll soon see, the drash of v'chiper, 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 because we have a din. A din means we have what we call a binyan av. Again, you have to write this down if you're a note taker. The word din, which has many meanings to it, but in a context of drashos, whenever we're trying to derive something, the word din means a binyan av. Do you want to write that down? A binyan av. A binyan av means an equation. In other words, we see two things that are similar. We assume until we know otherwise, we assume a similarity in their dinim. The dinim, the laws, the regulations should be similar because they are similar. And what the Gemara is going to say now is that this concept called din, otherwise known as binyan av, is going to pull us in two opposite directions. What is going to be our binyan av? If we want to determine the status of chatas chitzona, are we going to use the din of shar karbonos? Or are we going to use the din of a chatas pnimis? So the din, meaning the binyan av now, is going to lead us to total confusion. It's going to lead us to two possible roads. We don't know where the similarity is greater, and therefore where we should make this equation called a binyan av. And now the Gemara is going to go through the two approaches, the two roads that diverged here. The first road takes us towards shar karbonos. Hello, dinu. Why don't I equate a chatas with all the other karbonos? Chatas also belongs to the membership club and the constellation of karbonos. Nemar domim lemato. There are zrikos in all karbonos that are lemato. Lemato means on the kir hamizbeach below the chut hasikra. The chut hasikra was a wool, a red thread that circled the mizbeach. And below that chut is where we do the zrika of all karbanos. V'nemar domim lamala. In the case of chatos, where the Torah says over and over again, bekronos hamizbeach, we need a zrika lamala. Okay, fine. But it's all on the same mizbeach. It's all on the mizbeach hachitza. Therefore, let's apply the following din, the following binyanav equation. Ma domim hamurim lamata. Shenosnon b'matona achas kiper. We know that with regard to all karbonos, even though we require two zrikos, one zrika is going to be sufficient b'di'evet. Kiper means that the karbon is valid. Is af domim amur lamala. Why don't we apply the same rule to that mizbeach, the mizbeach hachitzon, lamala michut hasikra, when we do the zrika on the kronos of the mizbeach, lamala, as long as he did one maton, it should be enough. Oh, now we underline the word oh. Oh means the tug of war takes me to a different binyanav. Let's make a different equation. Klach, klach means you should turn your face with derech zu to a different road. Nemar domim bachutz. In the case of chatos, the Torah tells you that you should do the zrikas domim on the mizbeach achitzam. V'nemar domim bifnim, but there's another kind of chatos where the Torah wants the domim to be sprinkled on the mizbeach hazov inside the heichal. Ma domim amur bifnim. Chiser achas me'a matonos lo'os of lo klum. If you're missing one of four matonos, then it's worth nothing. It's totally worthless. And the Gemara in Masechet Menachos is going to derive this from a pasuk v'asei lapar kasher osa lapar, that im chiser achas min matonos lo osim lo klum, so you need all four matonos. It's four of us. It's af domim amurim bachutz, even in the classic chatos, which is chitzona. Chiser achas min matonos lo osim lo klum. So here are the two possibilities. Either one zrika is critical, or all four zrikas are critical. Says the Gemara, and this is the part of the Braisa, Nir Elami Dome. Who has the upper hand here? In this tug of war, who has a more profound analogy or similarity? The Gemara says, Donin chutz mi chutz, vi ain donin chutz mi bifnim. He says the following, that one logical argument should lead you to the conclusion that it all depends on what mizbeach you're talking about. If you're talking about the mizbeach hachitzoni, in the case of a classic chatos, then let's look at all the other karbonos on that same mizbeach, on the mizbeach hachitzoni. Ain't done in bachutz mi bifnim. The radical difference between the rules that apply to zrika bifnim on the mizbeach hazov and the zrika mibachutz on the mizbeach hanechoshes make it impossible to accept an equation. And therefore, we should come to the conclusion that one matana is likuva. Oh, says the Gemara, no, there's a more profound similarity to the chatos pnimis. Klach l'derksu go down this way. Done in chatos ve'arba kronos, mi'chatos ve'arba kronos. The similarity between the chatos pnimis and the chatos chitzoni, even though they're on two different mizbeachos, is so profound. Number one, they're both called a chatos. And number two, they both require zrik on the kronos of the mizbeach. The al yochiach, ze, don't quote the case of Shar Karbonos, she'ein chatos ve'arba kronos, they're not called chatos, they're different, whole different ballgame, whole different karbonos, Osham and Ola and Shlomin. And not only that, there's no arba kronos, there's no din of kronos. The din is two zrikos below the chut hasikra, on the bottom of the kiram is bare. So therefore, at this point, the Gemara thinks that we have to tilt the scale in favor of an equation between one chatos, between classic chatos, I would say, and chatos primis. Why? Because the similarity is very profound. They're all karbonos chatos, and they all require zrika on the karbonos on his bed. Talmud Lomar. Now we come back to where I left you hanging in the air before. V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. Meaning, as far as the Binyan Av is concerned, we would have derived from Chatas Primus, then how many Drikos do we need? Absolutely critical. In the case of a Karban Chatas classic, how many? Four, right? Because in Chatas Primus, we said you need four. Kavzal in the Torah, and it lowers the standard. How many times does it lower the standard? Three times. V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. Take four, lower it one, lower it two, lower it three. You're left with one Zrika. This is based on less. Nothing to the Yeshem Lemesora. Nobody holds Yeshem Lemesora. Otherwise, if you hold Yeshem Lemesora, it would be Lo Savashel Gedi Bechelev Imo. Is Kiper Afal Pishlo Nosan El Shlosha. The first Kiper tells you you have a Kapora even though you only had three Zrikos. Keeper, the second keeper, is Afal P. Shalonosan Ella Shtayim. And the third keeper is Afal P. Shalonosan Ella Achas. Is Memela, everybody agrees that Yesh Eim LeMikra, Basil has nothing to do with the issue of Yesh Eim LeMesoras. Now we're up to Sukkah. We had a machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rabbanon. How many defanos do you need for a sukkah? The Rabbanon say two plus a tefach. Rav Shimon says three plus a tefach. And we said initially, that was Rav Yitzchak, that it all depends upon how you interpret the word basukos. Now, even though basukos is written without a vav, but it's read with a vav. Hence, Rav Shimon adds, by pluralizing it, he adds an extra dofen. So you end up with four defanos. Then we have the halacha Moshe Misinai of tefach. So we reduce the fourth dofen, and all you need is tefach. Again, you always need a gova, you tefach, and we keep that in mind. Says the Gemara name. So now we're going to say the Rabbanon. They only have three sukkos. Why three defanos? Because the word sukkos is written in the Torah without a vav, yesh eim lemisora. Now that position is no longer tenable because now everybody agrees that yesh eim lemikra. So we have to reinterpret the machlokas. Gemara says, "Baha pligi." What are they arguing about? Rabbi Shimon savar schacha lo baikra. There's an extra word, sukkos. Why? Because since the Torah calls it a sukkah, we know that you have to put schach on top of the sukkah. It defines the identity of a sukkah, just in terms of the etymological meaning of the word sukkah, is that it has schach on it. So we don't need a pasuk to teach us the following halacha, that a sukkah, in order to be kosher, needs schach. That we know logically by deriving it from the taich, from the translation of the word sukkah. Is memela, what we have is an extra word sukkos, which is not necessary to teach me schach, but rather to teach me an extra dofen. So therefore we have four defanos. And Allah Moshe Misina reduces the fourth dofen, hence we need three plus a tefach. Rabbanan Savri, schacha boy kra. We need a pasuk to teach us that you have to have schach. So when it says sukkos and it's an extra word, it's not extra at all. The word sukkos is coming to define the sukkah. The sukkah is something that has schach on it. Hence, we're only left with three defanos. Now we get to the machlokas about chatzi kizayis minefesh achas and chatzi kizayis down from another nefesh. And we assume that the machlokas revolved around yeshem lemikri, yeshem lemesores, that Rabbi Akiva holds that since you read the word nefashos with a vav, even though it doesn't have it, even though it's not written with a vav, it refers to two different nefashot. Says the Gemara, no, everybody agrees, yeshem lemikra, and you interpret it based on the word nefashos with a vav, because that's how we read it, and that's how we pronounce it. But baha pligi, there's a different machlokas. Rabbi Akiva sovar, nafshos tarte mashma. That whenever the Torah says nafshos in plural, and that's how we read it, because we add the vav, yeshem lemikra, it means two nefashos, which means two mesim. Rabbanan Savri, nafshos di alma mashma. How do we translate the word nafshos? It's not referring to this ohel that has two nafshos in it, but rather the Torah is just telling you, don't go into an ohel of nafshos. in this OL there's one nefesh, meaning a dam of one deceased person. In another OL there's dam from a different deceased person. In each case there's a revius of that deceased, of that corpse, of that body. And therefore the word nefashos is referring to the alma. In other words, the Torah is not addressing a specific scenario, a specific case where there are two nefashos in the OL. Okay, let's read the pasuk inside. We'll go back to the Avdalah Amin Aleph for a second. The pasuk says the following. It says, if you can open up to Vayikra Chaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph, that's 21:11. It says, "Al kol nefashos meis lo yavo." So there are two ways of reading that. We know that the word nefashos means plural, because Yeshem Lemikra, nobody questions Yeshem Lemikra. But there are two ways of translating this pasuk. One is to say, lo yavo, mean don't, the kongol shouldn't go into an OL where there are nefashos, meaning there's dam of two nefashos in that OL. Or the other way of saying it is that there's a general mandate to the Kohen Gadol that enjoins him from going into an OL of nefashos. Of nefashos means in general nefashos. In this OL is only one nefesh. This is a full revius dam of one nefesh. Basically, what we've done is, Rabosai, between yesterday and today, today is Wednesday, between Tuesday and Wednesday, we've taken five different machlokas tanoim, and whereas Tuesday we interpreted them in the light of Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemesores, on Wednesday we reinterpreted all five machlokas and came to the conclusion that everybody agrees Yeshem Lemikra, and we have to reinterpret all the Chachamim Shita in those five machlokas in a different way, even if they agree the Yeshem Lemikra. And all this is because of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Lo Savashel Gedi Be Chalev Imo. Frek the Gemara, Udekuli Alma, Yesh Eim LeMikra. Are you going to tell me that there's no debate about this principle, Yesh Eim LeMikra? I'll prove to you that it definitely is a machlokes. Because the question is going to be, how many batim do you need in Tefillin Shel Rosh? And the answer is four batim. But how do you know from whence you derive four batim? So there's one approach which is called Yesh Eim LaMikra, and there's another approach which completely sideswipes or avoids Yesh Eim LaMikra. The first approach of Yesh Eim LaMikra is that of Rabbi Yishmael. So here we're opening up two different parts of the Torah. One is Parshas Bo, that's the first time the Torah gives us the mitzvah of tefillin, that's in Shmos Yud Gimel Pasuk Tes Zayin. And the other two times are in Parshas Vayeschanan, in Dvarim Perek Vav. Now, in these parshios, it says L'totofos, L'totofos, and then it says L'totofos, meaning with a vav. So the first two times are without a vav. Then finally it says it with a vav. Once you add the vav, you make it plural. So if you have L'totofos 1, L'totofos 2, and now you add the vav in the third totofos, because it says it with a vav, then you add 2, and you end up with 4. Harekan arba, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So Yishmael has to derive the 4 from the extra vav. Just give me 1 second. I'm sorry, I have to clear my brain of one thing that popped into my brain. I'm sorry. I made one mistake. Please let me correct this mistake. I said to you, but let me not repeat it because I don't want it to sink into your brain. It's wrong. But what I'm going to tell you now is right. That Rabbi Shmuel holds Yesh Eim LaMasoros. Oh, Yesh Eim LaMasoros. In other words, we're totally committed to the way it appears in the Ksiva, in the Sefer Torah itself. Therefore, even though in all three cases we're going to read it with a vav, L'totofos with a vav in plural, nevertheless, The way it's written in two out of three cases is l'totofos, which is in singular without the vav. Hence, l'totofos without a vav is one, l'totofos without a vav is one, and l'totofos with a vav is two. That's called yesh em l'mesoris. Why? Because I don't care about the fact that you read it with a vav, which is certainly the way we have to read it, that's called yesh em l'mikra. I am totally focused on the way it's written in the Torah. And the way it's written in the Torah, it's written without a vav in two occasions. That gives me two batim of tefillin shel rosh. And then we have l'totofos that's written on the third occasion with a vav, gives me another two batim, hence we have four batim. Rabbi Akiva Omer Eino Tzarich, I don't need it. And maybe what Rabbi Akiva is trying to convince Rabbi Shmuel is that yesh em l'mikra. But even if you, Rabbi Shmuel, reject yesh em l'mikra because you hold yesh em l'mesorah, there's another reason why, and another way of deriving four batim in tefillin shel rosh. And that is that we take the word totofos and we split it in two. And this is another way of darshaning the Torah, that we can take a long word and cut it into two smaller words. And what do we do in this case? We have tat, that's tes, and then we have pei, tuf, pat. So what does it mean? Now, okay, I'm oblivious here to the shalah. Okay, the shalah is going to tell you that this is all in Lashon Kodesh. But let's leave out the shalah for a minute. Let's assume that there are countries on the face of the earth which are called either Katfe or Afrike. Okay, now in the country called Katfe, the word tat is shtayim. It means two. And in Afriki, the word pat means two. And this is going to teach us arba batim l'tfilin shel rosh. So again, let's just summarize. According to Rabbi Shmuel, since twice it says totofos without a vav, and we're committed to the way it's written in the Torah, that's called yesh em l'mesorah. Hence, we derive two batim. One time it's written in the Torah with a vav totofos, and then the mesorah gives us another two batim is four. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need that drasha. All you have to do is take the word totofos and interpret the word totofos. And the word totofos splits into two, tat and pat. Tat is two, and pat is two. Here we have the shalah. The shalah insists that there was something called Ba'a Kadosh Baruch Hu Bilbel Es Ha'umos, that really the original tat and pas was in Lashon Kodesh. It's not that the Torah is borrowing a word from other languages, but there was a shibush. There was a bastardization, if you could use that word, of the language, and so we no longer have the Hebrew word in Lashon Kodesh the way it was originally given, and therefore the Gemara quotes Katfe and Afrike to prove what these words mean. But these are real, genuine Hebrew words. In any event, we're up to the point at which we were absolutely convinced that there is an opinion that says Yesh Eim L'Mesores. No, if there's Yesh Eim L'Mesores, then we can go back to Tuesday Shir. And we can give over Tuesday Shir again. That would be a nice chazorah, which we go through five machlokas in, and we interpret that in all these five cases, the machlokas is about yesh em l'mikra, yesh em l'mesoras. Because we've already seen that Rabbi Shmuel is committed, in the case of four batim v'tul t'sharosh, to the position of yesh em l'mesoras. So once you have yesh em l'mesoras, we might as well go with that way, that approach, and interpret the five cases the way Rabbi Yitzchak interpreted, that those five issues with regard to Tumah V'Tahara and Kodshim and Sukkah and so forth, they're all arguing about yesh em l'mikra, yesh em l'mesoras. Elo li'olam pligi, the bottom line of this whole long sugya, is that they argue about the Tanoim have machlokas about Yeshem Lubik, Yeshem Lusos, Vahani Miliki Pligi. But now we have to face the music about Losav Ashul Gedi Vachalevi Mog. Right, that was the proof of Rav Avraham Bar Yaakov, that nobody could question the principle of Yeshem Lamikra. Because if you don't have Yeshem Lamikra, then in the Torah it says Chalev, it doesn't say Chalav. Vahani Mili, when do we say that there's an issue of a tug of war, whether it's towards the mikra, towards the mesoras, that's ki pligi, when we have a conflict, a confrontation, so to speak, between the mikra and the mesorah. And now you have to decide who wins out. So one opinion says Yesh Eim LeMikra, and the other opinion says Yesh Eim LeMisora. So it means Ki Pligi Hecha Dishani Kra Dishani Kra Mimisoris, where there's a deviation of the Kra, meaning the way we read it from the Misoris, the way it's written in the Torah. Aval Hai in the Pasuk Losav Hashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo is Chalav V'Chalav D'Chi Adodi Ninu. In this case, we're not adding a letter and verbalizing it in a different way than it's written. It's always Ches Lamed Beis. That's called D'Chi Adodi Ninu. There's an absolute equation in the Osios. And here everybody agrees that Yesh Eim LeMikra. So for example, in the case of Totafos, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's a conflict between the way it's written without a vav and the way we read it. So Rabbi Shmuel insists, Yesh Eim LaMesoris. And therefore he deduces four. And that's going to be the opinion of the Chachomim in five different cases of a Machlokas. They're all predicated on Yesh Eim LaMesoris because there's a conflict, a collision between the way it's written and the way you pronounce it. Is it with a vav or without a vav? What's written without a vav, it's pronounced with a vav. But in the case of chalav, where it's not an issue of how to write it and whether or not we should omit a certain letter based on the creed, but it's a question of how to interpret the word. We're always going to interpret the word the way it's read, not the way it's written. So even though it's written that you could say it's chalev, chalev, I meant to say. You could say, well, let's argue it's chalev because ches lamed vav lamed vez is chalev. No, we're going to read it as chalav. Why? Because we have a mikra and the kri is chalav. Here there's no conflict. It's all a question of how to read the word and how to interpret the word. Everybody agrees that the upper hand is in favor of the mikra. How are we doing on the clock? Okay. So Rabosai, we're almost at the finish line. The finish line is the last line on Daf Dalid Amid Beis, and that begins Masechta Sanhedrin once again. We resume Masechta Sanhedrin. We have just one last piece on Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMisores, and that's going to be the piece of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema in the sugya of Aliyah LeRegel, and the issue of someone who's never blind in one eye, he can only see in one eye, is he chayev in the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel? And that's going to be a gigantic machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser and the Chachamim, and the Gemara is going to say that is because we have a conflict between the way it's written and the way it's read. So if I can borrow your pencil here, I'll just make a note of where we got up to. So believe me that tomorrow we resume our learning of Masechta Sanhedrin after completing Yesh Eim LeMisora, Yesh Eim LeMikra, with one last piece about Aliyah a little bit. So let me take this opportunity to wish you all a great day.